on, kids? Who reckons their parents are nervous because Mark's on Children's Talk and he's got two chairs out the front? Yeah. Okay. Now, you guys up in upstairs, when you've been going and hanging out upstairs, for this term you've been talking about the road to Jerusalem, isn't that right? And you've been talking about all the different stories that have been going on there. And what's been happening down here is they've been talking about, I guess, how to be connected to God and help other people to be connected to God. And James is speaking today, and he's speaking from a verse that has really big words in it. Who loves big words? Oh, really? I love stretching them out. Hands up if you know what the word reconciliation is. Oh, okay, there's four people. James, you're going to have a great message today. So, it's a big word, isn't it? And it's about people who are not together being helped to be brought back together. And I thought that was a bit tricky to try and explain. As James gave me that verse, I looked at it, had other words in it like ambassador. And I thought, oh, that's going to be a bit of a challenge to help kids understand all those big words. So I actually have tapped into a different passage, but that'll help explain that. Okay, now, I don't know whether you guys know this, but I'm a really good artist. Are you? I'm a really good artist. And so in here, I've got some pieces of paper and a pen. And people are thinking that this is going to be a trick, but it's not. Okay, now, I've got a friend, and we'll say his name is Henry. There's no Henrys here, is there? That way I don't incriminate anybody. His name is Henry, and Henry, things haven't been going too crash for Henry. Henry, like, he's at school, and someone keeps stealing his lunch. And all the people that he sort of sits next to in class, they don't really talk to him. People are starting to feel like what Henry's feeling like. And so I reckon Henry, he might look like this. Who thinks Henry might look like this? Who reckons I'm a great drawer? Yeah. Henry would look a bit like this. Now, when it comes to Henry, how could we help Henry, I wonder? Now, I've got a few other things in here just to help out. So, kids, who can tell me what Mum and Dad uses this for? No, don't answer that question. Who knows what this is? A wooden spoon, that's right. And who knows what this is? A pan? A pot, yep, a pot. Now, if we were to go to Henry and we were to put Henry there and we were to put this pot on here and we wanted to help Henry to know God, warning, adults, the next passage could be offensive to your ears. So I'm just giving warning. You may want to block your ears just in case. Now, kids, who thinks that I need someone to give me a hand, okay? Who'd like to give me a hand? Okay, come on over here. You look like a percussionist. You come and stand over this side here. And I want you to take this wooden spoon, and I want you, while saying the words Jesus, 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 bang this pot as hard as you can. Can you do that? Okay, give it a go. Let's see how he goes. Okay, Jesus, Jesus, keep going, Jesus, 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 okay, let's see if he's better. Oh dear, Henry's not any better at all, is he? He still looks pretty sad, doesn't he? He still looks pretty sad. Okay, well, we can't help Henry. Thank you very much. Round of applause for our helper. Very good. Okay, now, I've got another friend, and her name is Gertrude. And what's funny with that? Some of the kids have never heard of Gertrude before. Okay, you won't hear about Gertrude on Salt 106.9. That's from the 40s. Five. Okay, good. People are going to find it on the dial really well now. Okay, in my defense, it's speed dial number one on my radio thing, okay? So I just plug it in. Okay, but Gertrude, she has a big brother. And we won't say what Gertrude's big brother's name is, but the big brother, he all the time is picking on her and calls her names and says she smells. And Rosie, why are you laughing? And Gertrude, she looks a bit like this. Who thinks Gertrude would look like this? Oh, she's not happy at all. She's hands up if anyone has felt a bit like Gertrude. Has anyone felt a bit like Gertrude? Anyone got brothers or sisters who make you feel a bit like Gertrude? Yes, makes you mad. Okay, but if we were to help Gertrude to understand about how much God cares about her and loves her, do you think this would be a good idea as well? I need another helper. Can I have another helper, please? Someone who... Oh, yeah. Oh, no, Richie. Yeah, come on up. Richie, come and help Gertrude. Now, banging on the pot while saying, Jesus, show us how you do it. Oh, no. Let's see if Gertrude is in... It's okay, it's an old woods. It's okay, my children are all older now. I don't need this. Rightio, but have you found a piece? Okay, you guys keep a piece. It'll help you to remember. Okay, let's have a look at Gertrude. Richie, how does Gertrude look? Oh, Gertrude still doesn't look like anything's changed whatsoever, does it? Oh. Thanks, Richie. A round of applause for Richie. Okay, now, when it comes to Henry and when it comes to Gertrude... The idea of going to them to talk to them about Jesus and how much Jesus loves them, do you think that it would be a good idea to do it like a banging pot or a clanging cymbal or something like that? No, it doesn't. And they were talking about this smart guy, Paul, before. Well, he said these words. He said this. He said, if you are like the smartest person in the world, but you don't have any love... then you're like a banging pot. And it says that if you have a beautiful voice, a magical voice that brings people close to you at the time, but you don't have any love, then you're like a banging pot. And it says that if you have faith that could take this giant hill and say, over there, and it does... but you have no love, then you're like a banging pot. When God talks to us about being his ambassador, like his agent for bringing people back to God, he's saying, don't be a banging pot. He's saying, show the love that God shows. And by doing that, people might be able to understand what it is to be connected to each other and connected to God. Now, do you think James is going to have a great message today about that sort of stuff? Do you think that sounds like a pretty good message to have? So do you reckon that all the mums and dads and grandparents out there, they're like going, I'm feeling a little bit excited now. Who thinks that they're going to be like that? Have a look around, see their faces, quickly see. Do they look excited? Especially, yeah. Oh, some very excited people there in the middle. That's great. A few of the young people over there, they don't really get too excited at all, but that's okay. They're young. Okay, but... it's going to be a good message. And you guys, you're about to go upstairs and hear a bit more about this road to Jerusalem. I wonder if there might be anything that could be a bit related to about what it knows about God's love and how to share that with other people. Who thinks that would be a pretty good idea? Very good idea. I think so too. Okay, we're going to finish by praying. And you guys are going to head off up to Frogs Tadpoles and enjoy an awesome time. Who's leading it today? Is it Super Nathan? Super Nathan is leading it today. Who's excited about that? Yes, there's a few excited people out there, which is great. Okay, let's pray. Okay, God, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for our young kids, and we thank you for the fact that banging on a pot, it might be fun, but to help people who need to know about you, Jesus, it's not so good. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to know what it is to know you, to be connected to you, and help other people to be connected to you, and that through that they'd be connected to each other. So I pray you be with these kids, be with the leaders as well, and that you would just help them to be your voice and your hands and your feet for the message that you have for them today. And, yeah, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for all these things in your precious name. Amen. Okay, guys, have fun.
Always a treat. Thank you, Mark. And just as the kids go off to frogs and tadpoles, John's going to come and bring us the scripture reading today. I think James has a strategy in place today. Everyone else is preaching his sermon first. So he's going to be the person to draw it all together.
Today's reading's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 through to 6, verse 2. Reading from the NIV. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ loves compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them, and has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favour I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour, now is the day of salvation.
Weren't there some amazing words in those last few songs we sang? Just really affirming how amazing God's love of us is, the grace that he's shown to us. And that we can enjoy a right relationship with him, that what Jesus has done has made peace between God and us, that all of the things we do that separate us from God have been dealt with by Jesus when we couldn't, and now we're made right. Things are back in the balance that they should be between us and God. Yeah, we push it away again and he brings us back again with repentance and forgiveness. But we live in an amazing relationship with the living God. But what we're looking at this morning is the fact that it isn't just something for us to enjoy and enjoy with each other amongst those who already have it. Now, last week we talked about God's mission, our mission, in the church, amongst those who share that faith and belief in Jesus and have come together to share life and faith together as a family, as a church, and how God wants to work in us to make us just like Jesus, as attractive as he was to the people who really need this good news. And so we talked about that for us. This morning we're going to talk about how that moves from us to those people that we already know and are already connected with. And so it's about not people who are strangers to us, but people that we know, our family, our friends, the people who are involved in the various ministries of the church that connect us into the community, and how God has already taken us so far down that track of giving us these opportunities, and he wants us to be the ambassadors of this good news, the ones that take it forward to these people, both through our lives and our words. And I want to just highlight some of the things that God has actually given us as a church, as a family, a faith community, where we can structure, where we're structured and organised to do things that give us that opportunity. And how we can use those things that God has set up for us through inspiring us and initiating people to take action and set some of these things up. And that's only one part of it. Then we're going to look at some other aspects. There's a little leaflet that we put together some time ago, the Ministries of Kiwana Life. There's still some of them on the desk out there. And it's already out of date because there's some new things that we're doing that we weren't doing when we put this together about 12 months ago, and some things that we're not focusing on as much. But I just want to highlight some of these things because it's good sometimes to recognise all of the different ways that God is using this faith community to touch the broader community. And so let's have a look at some of these things. Firstly, there's our Sunday celebration. We come together, we meet here, and certainly people can be invited to come here, and people do come who are searching after faith and wanting to know God. And there's an opportunity for us through what we do here on a Sunday to make God known and what Jesus has done for us known, and to share in just helping them come to understand what it means to live in a faith community and to believe in Jesus. And part of that is our kids. We do separate things with them during the service in the kids' ministry for different ages upstairs, and we have people who are faithfully committing on a regular basis to serve by sharing with the kids in that ministry. Also, we do have the opportunity for creche and mums with babies to use that room out there if that's necessary and it's available. So we set ourselves up to be able to be ministering to a broad range of people in what we do. And one of the things that excites me about Kiwana Life is that we are very much a multi-generational church. We've got a good mix of ages, and we've got everyone from the littlest kids through to the oldest ones in our congregation. And it's great. I love that because we all enrich each other through all those different things. But it does mean that as we come together, there'll be a compromise, just like the radio station. You can't be just focused on one group. If you want to reach everybody, you have to have compromise in style and a whole lot of things. And I think we do that well. We're not complaining that we're not getting our own way. We're appreciating that there's a need to do things in a variety of ways to minister to and relate to a variety of different ages. Then we have a whole range of other things that we do during the week. Friday nights and other times, we've got youth and young adults, and there's many opportunities for them to invite their friends into those activities, fun activities and Bible study activities, where they can come and explore what it might mean to have a relationship with God and to know Jesus. And our young people are inviting people into those contexts and have the opportunity to share their life and faith in that context. And then we jump to the other end of the scale, and we've got KKs, which is Kiwana Teenagers, not teenagers, which is a 50-plus group. That meets, is it once a month? Where's Ian and Del? Yeah, once a month. And they go out on an outing and enjoy just going out together and socialising, but it's more than socialising. It's an opportunity to relate to people, and people can invite their friends in a non-threatening way to come and do a shared activity, and friendships are built. And people begin to feel they belong, you know, and our belong, believe, become, once people start to get to know you and recognise that you're just not weirdos, but you're people who love Jesus, and that does make a difference in your life. Your life and words will make a difference. And so we can bring them on a journey of getting closer to God. We do four-wheel drive days. Once a month, on a Saturday, we'll go out and spend a day out in the bush, having a bit of fun and adventure, stopping and having some morning tea and lunch and afternoon tea, lots of conversation. And I think there's only been one of those four-wheel drive days in the last 2 years when we haven't had somebody who's not part of our church come along and enjoy the day with us and have a lot of fun and a lot of conversation. And it's just another soft entry point for people to get to know us and perhaps come on that journey of faith with us. We have mainly music on a Monday that happens here, where we have up to 40 plus families bring their kids, mostly the mums, but some of the dads come as well, and do a music program with the kids and the mums, and then we also entertain the kids with some games and activities while the mums have morning tea and together. Gives them both some fun stuff to do with their kids and an opportunity to communicate with other adults, many of them who are busy in the week, just bringing up their kids. And this is a bit of adult conversation. We have an amazing team of about 12 or 13 of us who come almost every Monday morning and both help run the program but also are there to share and talk with those who come. There's probably two or three from our church who are part of that, probably six or eight from other churches already committed who are part of that, and about half who have no other church contact whatsoever. And there's amazing opportunity to share encouragement and at times testimony and witness to these mostly mums on our Monday morning, where we can just make Jesus known. And one of the things that excites me too is that I hear some of the other mums who are Christians going to other churches inviting mums, hey, you should come along to our church, it's great, you know. And the witness is going out and they're being, that faith is being shared in that context. And there's God content in the program itself, not too heavy, but just enough that it just makes them aware that we're doing this out of a motivation that God loves them and we love them too. We've got on Tuesday, coffee and chat, which is quite informal, that happens over at Urban Espresso over here from 10 till 12. And part of the purpose of this is just to get people together, to have an opportunity to communicate and get to know each other. But again, that's been a great opportunity for people to bring friends to who just want to get to know us. It's been a great way for people who are new to this church fellowship to get to know people of similar age. It's mostly people who have got retired because they've got the time during the day to do that. But an interesting little spin-off for that was, where's Keith and Helen? What did you guys do last Sunday after church? Sorry, people aren't going to hear you. Just speak there, sorry.
We went to have lunch at Kiwana Surf Club. There was a group of 19 of us, and we're hoping to do it every month, first Sunday of the month. Everyone's welcome.
And the purpose of that was because Donnie has a lot of great contact in the surf club, and when we've been talking about doing our alternate services in different places and spaces, part of the vision we have is that we would one day have one of those services in the surf club. And so this gives us, through this group, an opportunity to actually begin to be seen to be there, to have a presence, to get to know people. And I'm sure they'll find that some of their neighbours or friends they see in other things around the community go there for a lunch and things like that and build relationships and connection. And then when we do have something, they'll be inviting friends into a familiar space and place to discuss life and faith rather than just go there purely socially. So I'm really excited that you guys are actually seeing how you're adding value to what Donnie's doing in there as the chaplain. Now, perhaps what happens in the social side of it is a bit different to the life-saving side, but they overlap and it's great. So just thinking of ways we can constantly add value to the contacts that we have. On Thursday mornings, first and third Sunday of the month, we have a craft group that meets in here. And again, Lois and Betty run that, and fantastically organised, mostly cards at the moment, isn't it, that you're making? And the buzz that happens with the ladies who come along to that is terrific. I'm often in here and I hear them doing it, and their morning tea is sensational. So I always get an invite to that, which is nice. But it's just another opportunity to invite friends and people to come and do something you enjoy together, with an opportunity then to do life and share faith in a very natural, easy environment. And so I'm really impressed with what's happening there, and I'm seeing new faces coming along, and it's terrific. Home groups. Many of you are involved in home groups. We have really good participation level in home groups, where mostly that's us with people who are already connected with the church, but there are also people who come to those groups who are not part of our church, friends and others. Some go to other churches, but others don't. And God is giving us opportunity through our home groups to connect with people who are not part of Kiwana life or not part of church, and see them grow and go on a journey. I'll share a little incident. In our home group on a Monday night, we had a phone call from a young lady in her 30s saying, we haven't been part of a church for a long time and we'd like to connect, but we don't want to go to church, but we'd love to come to a home group. Do you have home groups? So the message was taken, given to me. I rang her back and, yep, her and her husband had a business that made it difficult for them to get to church and had not been part of church for a long time. They started coming along to our Monday night home group and really participating, joining in, and we're loving having them there. It's great, and they're re-energising in their faith and finding they're connecting. And said last week, when I told them about Wednesday night, yeah, that might be something we could come along to. We might see you on Wednesday night. So I'm hoping they'll come along on Wednesday night. You might never see them here on a Sunday morning, but they're connecting in through the home groups. That was just God moving them to do that. We didn't actually go out and chase them or anything like that. But God is bringing people to us in a whole range of different ways. And the other exciting thing about home groups is that new groups are starting with people who are intentionally wanting to reach out to the people in their little neighbourhood, in their area where they've got friends and that they are getting to know. And we've got people who are ready and praying about the right time to start some groups. A Monday afternoon group started and they're starting to look at people in their area. And the existing groups also have the opportunity to be looking out for people who are on the fringe of what's happening. And we would like to encourage that to increase in the sense that within your groups, there's an opportunity maybe to be sending out some of the people who've got leadership capacity to start a new group. Send them out as missionaries from your group to their neighbourhood to start a group in their home with maybe one or two others. Or maybe grab someone who's not in a group already in the church and say, hey, I'm thinking of starting a group. Would you like to join me? And then we'll see who else we can connect with around about us, someone who lives nearby, and start little neighbourhood groups. Again, an opportunity to reach out to the people we're already connected with through all sorts of other relationships. KYB, every Wednesday. I think it's every Wednesday, isn't it? Where's Pamela?
Yes.
Somewhere? Not in school holidays, but every other Wednesday you have a KYB group that meets here. And again, you have people who are not part of this church, people coming along wanting to study God's word and get involved and learn more. And it's also building us up. We have missions that we're involved with in a broader sense overseas and groups and people who get together to pray and look at ways in which we can better serve those outside. Probably that's not so much directly influencing what happens for us locally as a church, but it's part of what we do. We've got the bread team on a Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night here, I think it's about 7:45 now, we open the doors and there's bread that's donated. That we have a huge amount of bread and people can come from the community and just receive free bread. Many people from our church come and take some of that bread because they then take it and give it to neighbours or people they know who need it. And so they're using that as an opportunity to serve others by using the resource that's been donated to us. And the people who are on those teams have opportunities to chat with those people who come in. Many of them perhaps have needs beyond financial difficulties at the present time, and there's opportunity to serve them and show God's love to them in that context. The Money Music, we've got things that add value to that, as you just heard about the parents' night out. And often when we've got a ministry that's good, it's sometimes better to do another thing that adds value to what you're already doing and takes it a bit further than start another whole new thing. Although there's space to do that, and Brendan's going to talk a little bit about that next week when he's sharing the message. So, Parents' Night Out, which you've already heard about, does that. We used to have a young families movie afternoon, but that's sort of slipped to the side at the moment as we've got some new and other things happening. And we also, does the last group still meet? Yeah? There's Ladies Alone Social Support Group. And they get together every now and then and have a lunch. Is that right, Barb?
Yeah.
Every second Sunday. Okay. It's not a group that I belong to, so I actually don't know a lot about this. But it's there, and it's great that there's support for those who are on their own in that single widowed ladies area. We also have our creative ministries that does a lot of the music stuff as well. We've got lots of different things that we do, and many of them give us opportunity to connect with others, whether directly or indirectly, by sharing the fact with people around about us that we're involved in some of these things. You know, you might be talking to a neighbour and they've got a need, and you can say, oh, our church has got a bread ministry. We can get you some bread every Tuesday night, or you can come along and get it yourself. Or you've got kids that you want to sort of maybe do something with a youth group. We've got a youth group. You're interested in music. Well, you know, we've got a music group, a worship team and stuff. And if you're involved in that, you maybe just share your interest in music with someone. Lots of ways that the talents and gifts that we've been given can be used to build relationship. And part of the point about building that relationship is it gives us an opportunity by our lifestyle and our words to both demonstrate and communicate God's love and the message of salvation through Jesus, which is what we want to be seeing everybody being drawn closer to God. And our ministry of reconciliation, of making peace between God and people, is just letting them see what it's like to live a life where you have peace with God, where you know him personally, when you've experienced his love and his grace. And this is amazing. This has changed my life, and it could change yours. This is something worth experiencing, worth having. And so that whole sense of us being ambassadors is getting a hold of what God has done for you and realizing that it's not just something to keep for yourself, it's something to share with others. And I think one of the key things when we think about what it means to be the church is that God really, this what happens here on a Sunday is not the be-all and end-all of it. Because God never really said, go to church. He just said, be my family, be the church, which is something that invades every area of our life. What we've just talked about is the ways we organise and structure some of the stuff that we do. But then there's also all the other parts of our life that are important to that as well. Family and friends, the people we have already got strong, meaningful connections with. How are we living our life and demonstrating the love of God and communicating what he has done for us through Christ to family and friends? Sometimes that's a difficult area because they've known you for years and they've sort of heard it and, you know, inoculated themselves against it in some ways and expect it. But still, we just got to keep there, being that representative, the ambassador of what God has done for us in front of them, living the life and, where appropriate, saying what needs to be said to share that good news about Jesus. Now, they're ones that we've already got strong connections with. But then there's other people that we have less strong connections with, but regular ones. That's in our workplaces or in volunteer things we do or other clubs and activities that we participate in that we might do regularly, if not every day, maybe every week, maybe once a month. We connect with groups of people in lots of different ways. And partly it's out of an interest that we might have, partly it's out of need to earn an income that we have, but nevertheless, we are alongside of people who don't know Jesus on a regular basis in lots of areas of our life. And again, why are you there? Is it total random chance, just because you have to be? Or is there also that sense that God has put you there as his ambassador to your workplace, his ambassador to your garden club, his ambassador to whatever, to be a representative of him, to live and to speak, where appropriate, about this amazing love of God for us, and be making peace between God and man, or woman. But it's more than just making peace. The ministry of reconciliation is one, certainly with God, but it's also in that wherever we go, we should be peacemakers, trying to improve the quality of what happens in that environment. A lot of places can be quite conflicted, and we can be people who jump onto one side or the other and get into the same aggressive argument, or we can be people who try and bring peace in a sense of saying, well, there are different perspectives. You know, I might hold this view, but, you know, I understand where you're coming from. And be peacemakers, be ones who get discussion and dialogue happening rather than, you know, just aggressive arguing and just polarisation. And that's countercultural because our culture at the moment is all about you know, taking one side or the other on everything. Everything from whether dogs should be allowed to run on the beach to, you know, whether we should allow gay marriage or not. You know, big, little issues, it doesn't matter. The media and the whole culture likes to just polarise everyone and put them on one end or the other of the spectrum. And maybe we can be people who bring together and begin to have proper dialogue and discussion and respect of those who have different views. Yes, we live in a democracy and some of the decisions that will be made may not be ones we agree with. We don't have to cause conflict in order to have a voice. And as it says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. So as far as it depends on you. So you can't be fully responsible for anyone else's response, but you can be responsible for yours. And then there's also people that you have regular contact with throughout the day, the people at the local shop, you know, the postie who comes and you might see him, all sorts of people that you see in a semi-regular way throughout your week. You don't have direct relationship with them, but you'll bump into them on a sort of a regular basis. There's going to be opportunities there just to be who you are and see a difference in the place that you're in. Be an encourager rather than a critic of people. I happened to go to Centrelink this week and I've had to go twice in the last month, and the second time I got the same lady who was very helpful the first time, and I know that Centrelink staff are very much under the pump and get a lot of criticism. And I got the same lady and she was super helpful again. And there's one little thing I've got to follow up with in a month or so. And she said, "Oh, just write a letter or just, you know, you don't have to come in." I said, "No, I'd like to come in because I might get you." And I said, "You are the most helpful Centrelink person I've ever come across. And I want to thank you for your patience and working through all these different issues that I've had." And she almost welled up and said, "Thank you." As if, I just had the sense probably no one else had ever really thanked her for the job that she does, because they're all in there arguing for their rights and their justice and everything else. It was just an opportunity to make someone's day better. And then there's random, completely random opportunities. You bump into somebody, it could be all sorts of situations at all. But, you know, I think God sets up a lot of little random encounters with people and gives us an opportunity in some way to be a peacemaker. You might not get to share the gospel with that person, but maybe they'll just see something that makes life a bit better, a God presence. And, you know, let's just not be worried about what we can notch up from every little thing that happens, but consistency of life and witness as a follower of Jesus will be what gives us the opportunity at times to really be articulate about that. And then our words will be authentic to the life that we've lived. And if you haven't lived an authentic life, yeah, we'll all make mistakes, that's for sure. But if you haven't lived an authentic life, then what you say is probably just going to be like beating the gong because there's been no evidence of that love and compassion and concern for the people of this world that God loves. God loves every single one. It's not his will that any should perish. Now, I want to finish with just a little bit out of Romans, a passage that you're probably familiar with. It says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Romans 10, 11. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, it's just not a glib calling on his, sincerely calls on the Lord. How then can they call on the one whom they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Are you going to be the ones who bring good news into your situations, into your relationships, into our ministries together? How will they hear unless they're sent? Are you going to be a sent one this week? Are you going to be alert to opportunities that God might give you where you can just show the love of God, maybe share and maybe pray for somebody? Maybe it's just a simple action of kindness, a word of encouragement, And maybe it's someone who opens up and begins to talk about things that they've never talked about before, and you have a chance to bring the gospel into that situation. Will you be a sent one? Will your feet be beautiful? My feet are not very beautiful. But they can be, in the sense of, if they take me to the place where I have an opportunity to show God's love to someone. I'm going to ask Steve to come up. I want you to think about this. Am I going to live this week as if I'm sent into every situation? Sent back into my home straight after church. Sent into my workplace by God. Sent into those situations where I share a shared activity. Sent into the ministries that I'm involved with. Sent into the shopping centre. Sent to that person who is having a bad day. Are you willing to be a sent person this week? Be good news to the people around you, the people we already have connections with, that God wants to see come to know him. If you're willing to be a sent person, and don't be sheep, maybe you're not ready to make that commitment, I want you to stand where you are now, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll all stand and sing. But if you really feel that God's saying something to you about having an attitude this week, every week, of being a sent person into every situation that comes on your path, whether it seems good or bad, stand and I'd like to pray for you. And I'm standing. So if you really feel a sense, but don't stand as sheep. If you're not really sensing that that's something you need to do right now as a commitment, feel free to sit and no one will judge you, because you might already be very clearly conscious of what your role is. Lord, we stand before you, or sit before you, and we all acknowledge that we have a ministry of reconciliation. And I pray, Lord, that as we go out this week, we will have a sense that you're sending us into these places. You've gone ahead and you've prepared the hearts of those people who we're going to meet. And it might be just a simple action, or it might be a clear articulation of our faith, that we'll give an explanation of the hope that lies within us to somebody this week. Well, we trust that your Holy Spirit is going to empower us and work in and through us as we open up to be this, and that the outcome is in your hands and not ours. That your Spirit is the one who seeks to convince and convict, and we just need to be your mouthpiece, your hands, your feet. And we offer ourselves to be that this week and in the future. In the power of the name of Jesus and your Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Be sent. And we're going to finish with a song. Thanks, Steve.